From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccan. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's Thursday, if you're listening to this, on the day it comes out, which means it is time for listener mail. When you're not hearing us on the show, folks, imagine Matt, Noel, and myself, the whole Stuff They Don't Want You to Know team, assiduously digging through correspondence. We're searching the corners of the internet. We're finding all those old messages from social media. We're reading wonderful letters from the very best part of the show, you and your fellow listeners. And at least once a week, we like to share them with you. So we're going to get a little spooky with it, a little spoopy, as the kids would say these days. And we hope you enjoy it, because we've been receiving so many wonderful stories about things that can't be explained. If you don't want to call them paranormal, that's fine. If you don't want to say ghost, that's fine too. But it turns out a lot of people, even people who consider themselves diehard skeptics, have found themselves in Twilight Zone-esque situations. So with that in mind, what better way to start than a haunted apartment?
Ah, yes. And we really have to give Nick a hand for sending us this voicemail, and you will understand why we are doing that momentarily.
Hi, guys. This is Nick in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Wanted to give a call with a story of my own. A couple years ago, my wife and I moved into an apartment in downtown Chicago. It was a historic building, about 100 years old, really a lot of history in the building, a really neat building. Had a normal, kind of life there. What happened one night was we went to bed with the bedroom door open. We woke up in the morning, the bedroom door was closed, and on the inside of the bedroom door was a large handprint in like a black ash. Very large. It had to be 7 or 8 inches long. And when I touched it, the ash kind of fell to the ground, much like ash from a chimney or something like that. It was truly like a black ash. Immediately, we called the maintenance. There was on-site maintenance and an on-site kind of concierge. We called them and asked, had anyone been to our apartment? We had no idea if there was an emergency or something, or we completely missed something going on. They told us, no one had been in the apartment. There was nothing scheduled. No maintenance people had been in there. We told them what had happened. They were blown away by it. They sent maintenance up. Maintenance looked at this large handprint, said they didn't know what it was, and they left. We kind of left it alone. I would say about 2 months later, we woke up, we're getting ready in the morning, and on one of the hallways of our apartment, towards the front door, was truly like a child-sized handprint in this same black ash. And again, like when I touched it, it would kind of fall off the wall. We called maintenance right away again to find out what could possibly be an explanation for this. I truly thought at this point, maybe a maintenance person came up with their kid and their kid got dirty when they were doing some kind of work. I had no idea. You're kind of like reaching for answers at that point. They had no explanation. They told us to put a safety bar on the inside of the door that kind of goes under the door knob. They said no one had been in the building. In our apartment. So we did that. Then what happened a couple months later, I would say 2 months later, we were on winter vacation in Florida. We got a call from our cat sitter who had gone over to the building and to feed our cat. And he said, have you guys been up here, or have you had any friends here that have come to your apartment? I said, no, why? He said, well, all of your kitchen cabinets are open and your lights are on, including your microwave and your refrigerator and freezer. And, obviously the cat can't do that. I had him send me pictures. My wife and I were out eating in Florida, and we were just terrified. We talked to the cat sitter. We couldn't figure out who had been in the apartment. Eventually we moved from that apartment and haven't had anything like that happen since. However, over the past year, I'd say, I've seen two or three different friends and acquaintances of mine on social media who have posted very, very similar experiences with these kind of ashy handprints on the walls. One was a some friends from high school that I haven't seen in years, and they posted on Instagram that they had moved into a new house. They're painting the walls, and after they painted the walls, these ashy handprints appeared. They posted pictures of these prints. They looked the exact same as what we experienced. Then we had another friend who had the exact same thing happen, and they moved into an older home and had that happen. So I'm just curious if you've ever heard of anything like that happening. I've never seen anything like it. I still don't have an explanation for it. Can't figure it out. But I'm just so curious because I saw that other people I knew were having the same experience. So just curious if you've all had that experience, or if anyone you know has, or if maybe anybody who listens has, because to this day, it really blows me away. I don't get what that could have been. All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Wow. Oh, man. Oh, right? Nick. Thank you. Yes. First, as to paraphrase Michael Jackson, you are not alone. Right? That was Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah, that was the one with Lisa Marie alone. In the video where they're like making and stuff. A little weird. Yeah.
So, right, to paraphrase Jackson, Nick, this is not a unique thing. In fact, you may be surprised by how many people have reported something similar. Now, it's not always a hand they see. And indeed, in some cases, someone might interpret one of these marks as looking like a hand, but it can get a little indistinct. As you noticed when you touched it, there definitely was something physical there because, you know, your touch affected it. Let's say, I don't know, Matt, Noel, what do you think? You want to go through the boring stuff first, or do you want to get right
hell
to the crazy?
Hell no. Come on. These are demons, y'all. These are definitely demons.
Yeah, let's get to the demon juice. Come on.
Come on, ashy handprints.
You've joined the Dark Brotherhood from Skyrim unintentionally. No, the good news, Nick, is, of course, this is something like this has happened to a lot of people, and they feel that they cannot explain it. At times, people are seeking a more spiritual solution, might do something like scrubbing the house or cleansing it by burning sage, may have a religious ceremony of some sort, or a spiritual ceremony, whether that's, you know, a seance, or you have a priest or a holy figure come to bless or even exorcise the house. Those are the
An Ash Wednesday.
Right, right. And the thing that might surprise you is that the world of just straight up interior repair and maintenance is also familiar with this. There's a term called ghosting. And in the world of building and painting, house painting, ghosting usually refers to these dark streaks or patches on walls or ceilings or even carpets. And for most people, they're unexplainable. Where did this come from? You know what I mean? Especially in an older building, people may have very valid concerns about contaminants, right? Is there lead paint? Is there asbestos? Sure. And so on? Yeah, at least in the world of the construction, right? What a builder or painter sees, when they're talking about ghosting, they're talking about these streaks, they're talking about something that's caused by the slow buildup of dust and sometimes mold and soot over time. But this, I posit, doesn't sound like exactly the same thing because it sounds as though these handprints just appeared, right?
Yeah, and they're on the surface of the latest coat of paint, right? So this, I mean, the one in the hallway as well as the one that was on the door in the bedroom. Let me tell you guys just really quickly. I don't mean to jump in here with my own story, but here I go. So I had this experience not long ago, actually. I'm doing a lot of work on my home and a lot of work on the exterior of my house. And a lot of that has me digging in soil, digging in stuff that is it's mulch that's stained black. So I'm using several sets of gloves to do all this work. And just to give you an idea of my house, I've got an exterior room that has my laundry stuff in it, you know, my washer and dryer. And also in that room, there are shelves where I keep my gloves and work equipment, right? So one night, very recently, actually, which is why this struck me, Nick, I went out to go do my laundry, took my basket out there. Again, I have to leave my house, go outside, go into this other room. There is a huge black, ashy handprint, just a handprint on the wall. And I, for a moment,
how many fingers did it have?
It had five fingers.
Okay. All right. Check.
And I started to freak out a little bit. But then I thought back, oh, wait, I put mulch down a couple days ago. I must have come in this room and just touched the wall and didn't think about it. And it must have been all over my glove. And I just didn't see it when it happened. I hope. but I visually could see this, Nick, because I just had that experience.
But what did it, how did it hit you when you first experienced it? Obviously that rational explanation took a second to seep in.
Oh yeah.
But your initial thought, was it like hairs on the back of your neck stood up and you truly felt you were having a brush with something bizarre?
I think it was very similar to Nick's reaction. Who the hell was in my laundry room? Or in his case, like, who the hell was in my bedroom while I was sleeping and shut my door and left their handprint?
I'll tell the super quick version of it, because I know I've told this story before, but I just have to mention it because it's so kind of in line with this. I was once sitting in a car with the girl that I dated for a long time when she was in college, and we were both in college, rather, and it was a really cold night, and a good friend of ours had just passed away, had died in a car accident, and she was waiting for me after class, and I walked up and sat in her car, and she was in tears, and she didn't say anything, and she just kind of blew on the inside of her windshield, and the signature of this girl, this friend of ours, was there, clear as day, on the inside of the windshield, and I just started, like, crying. It, like, hit me, like, oh my God, this is a paranormal experience. I am witnessing something from beyond reaching out and trying to, you know, give us a message of some kind. And then, you know, the rational part of my brain set in, might have even taken a day, and realized that's exactly the kind of thing, you know, teenage or early 20s girls do, is they write their names on, you know, condensation on the inside of a window. I mean, hell, anybody does it. But, you know, there's oils on your finger, and probably was just, it lingered there. I mean, you didn't see it unless you blew on it because of the condensation. But it was, it hit me in a very real way. And I was fully on board with this being a supernatural experience. But then I kind of explained it away, which is kind of sad. But, you know, it doesn't diminish the power of that experience, you know?
I think these two stories also show, Nick, that your experience, while it is distinct and unique, is not, like, there's nothing, well, it's abnormal, right? But is it paranormal? Like, you're, first off, dude, you're not crazy. The majority of people in the U.S., according to a 2018 poll, do believe that they have had some kind of encounter with what they perceive as a ghost. And that number has actually risen over recent years. And as far back as, like, what's another semi-recent one? 2015, that still counts as recent. Back in 2015, a Pew Research poll showed that only 18% of folks had thought they had seen a ghost, but 29% say they have felt, in some inexplicable way, in touch with someone who has passed beyond this mortal veil. And when you hear people tell these stories, like, you can hear, you know, Matt, Noel, you guys walk through this with critical thinking, and you're saying, okay, well, we have to do the job of seeing whether there is a mundane explanation. And sometimes there simply isn't one that can explain all the factors, like the process of mold or soot slowly accreting over time, maybe due to an old AC vent or something like that, because he said it's a very old building. That can explain some stuff, but it can't explain everything. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many people who believe that they have had some sort of encounter with something inexplicable. And what better time of the year to talk about these stories? You know, without going into detail, I've been in some situations, yeah, that defy explanation. And I think the majority of people will at some point in their lives. I'd be very surprised if there's anybody on their deathbed who says, I can explain it. Yeah, no, everything made sense. Nothing weird happened to me for, you know, 80 years or something. But I'd be interested to see what other people in the building think. You know, I'd be interested to learn the history of the building, because Chicago has a storied history of supposedly haunted locations.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're right. And we're talking about a 100-year-old building, so who knows? The other thing that I wanted to mention as a rational, like, everything's okay, this is just something that happens. I cleaned the top. You guys can't see in here if you're watching the video, but I've got two, like, large, I don't know, just they're not closets, like standalone closets, like wardrobes that are right next to where I record. And I cleaned the top the other day. And again, it was a situation where I just, the way I found out about it being so dirty is I touched the top of it and I got just dust caked on my hand, and I touched my wall when I went outside of my room, and I didn't notice that I had touched the wall until I came in, cleaned the thing, and then went back out. Not saying that's what happened, Nick, just saying that's the kind of thing that maybe we do throughout the day or happens every once in a while.
I wouldn't rule out the cat.
the cat just like, what did it do?
I also, you know, I wouldn't rule out the supernatural. I mean, I'm not mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing that there aren't things beyond the realm of our, you know, understanding that exist. Like, I'm not a religious person. I would consider myself, I guess, an agnostic, but I have a really hard time believing that it's what you see is what you get, and that's all there is to it. I think that would be really boring, and B, based on, you know, things like the Drake equation, you know, the existence, the potential for the existence of, you know, extraterrestrial life, I feel like that applies to all this stuff too. And I feel like, you know, we exist like as energy and the idea of a soul. Like, I've often done the thought experiment of like, what does it feel like to not exist? And I can't fathom that. I think many of us have probably done that. Therefore, I'd really, truly like to believe that souls go somewhere and do something. I don't know if they can like knock over vases or anything, but also, just to wrap this up on my end, if you haven't seen this show and you're looking for a kind of a lighthearted supernatural type experience, there's a lovely British show called Ghosts that is a comedy about like a haunted house. I'd never heard of it until a friend of mine posted about it on Facebook. So if anyone's looking for a little lighthearted supernatural stuff that's also very heartwarming and sort of asks some of these same questions that we're talking about, I would highly recommend checking that out.
I would also advance to that point, which is something I think we're pretty adamant about through the history of this show. To that point, is there not something fundamentally arrogant about assuming that all things can be explained by human beings with the current track record of civilization? Like, time crystals. What?
They're not real. I had a discussion with a friend about this. There's no way that time crystals are real. We don't understand them.
How it's arrogant. Right. So I mean, the story of civilization is inspiring, or the story of human civilization, I should say, is overall inspiring. But we have to remember, despite all of the innovations the species has made, the reality of the state of existence for humans is a lot like being a single guttery candle, right? Flickering in this immense, unknowable, vast, dark space. People don't know everything. And that's a tough thing to accept. You know, I think it's easy and it's comforting to believe that everything can be explained, and perhaps everything can, but that doesn't mean people are the ones capable of reaching that explanation. I'd also love to see some pictures, Nick, if you want to email us conspiracy@iheartradio.com. We definitely love to check them out. I mean, Matt, you're a pro at some digital forensics. I've always been impressed. So let's see what the hand looks like.
Oh yeah. I'll send it over to Quantico. See what we can come up with, Nick. we'll figure it out. You know, we talk about extraterrestrials a lot as a possibility when it comes to things like this. Y'all, you know this, guys. We can't sleep on those extra-dimensional entities. Come on. If we're imagining a demon somehow coming up from someplace that's very warm, very, very warm, and has ash involved and things that are burning, what if they just flipped through that dimension somehow, opened a door that we can't see or taste or touch? Don't taste doors.
No, well, it depends. Unless they've got Snosberry wallpaper or something.
You
like
don't
that.
Know if it's a Hansel and Gretel situation. That's the
you
problem
just don't.
With food, food buildings. You got to know the provenance.
And on this topic, one last televisual rec. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's a new show on Netflix called Midnight Mass that is about just such interdimensional beings from that warm place that get mistaken for other things.
That's a great show.
It's really good. I highly recommend it. Yeah, I do too. I really thought it was something very special about it. I wasn't crazy about the ending, but it's every step of the way is just fabulous. So, highly recommend.
And we will be right back with more listener mail right after this. ¶¶
And we're back with more listener mail. I have to admit, this listener, Becky, I'll just leave it at Becky, hipped me to a story that I am saddened to say that I was not even up on. There have been so many police shootings of unarmed black men that it's almost easy for some of these stories to get lost in the shuffle. And I was not aware of the story of Winston Smith. So here's a letter from Becky. Winston, this is Becky's opinion. Winston Smith was assassinated by a cohort of undercover Minneapolis PD, the sheriff's office, and the U.S. Marshals 4 months ago. All the footage from the parking garage where it happened are missing, and his girlfriend, who was in the car at the time, has yet to testify. During the vigil for Smith, a protester named Deanna Marie was struck by a drunk driver with links to white supremacist organizations and killed. To this day, neighborhood businesses have hired private security services equipped with long guns and sonic devices have patrolled the spot where the protests took place. This has been a major event in local grassroots political activism in the wake of the Minneapolis uprising, but has received no national media attention. I agree. I don't know if you guys heard anything about this. I know we all probably read the same letter, but I knew nothing of the killing of Winston Smith, who was a comedian, an outspoken, you know, kind of YouTuber, Instagram kind of content creator, not hugely popular, like not gazillions of followers, but someone who clearly was well liked locally, like in the Minneapolis area, made like lots of kind of funny videos that then started to become a little more politically charged, you know, after the killing of George Floyd, with Minneapolis kind of having become sort of a ground zero for a lot of this Black Lives Matter protests around Floyd's killing. But there's some very fishy things about this case. I mean, truly. For example, he was on a date with a woman when he was killed. He had a warrant out for his arrest for failing to appear for a sentencing hearing for a parole violation stemming from gun possession. And, you know, that is what it is in and of itself. But the U.S. Marshals came for him and they claim that he pulled a gun and fired first, and that's what caused them to kill him. The woman he was with said that he did not have a gun. They claimed they confiscated a gun from the scene, including shell casings, and that is being disputed, you know, by witnesses. Also, it's true, whether the video is missing or not, quote unquote, there is no video to be had of the incident of the shooting, and that death of the protester was at the hand of a multiple DUI possessing, I guess, individual. And I haven't dug deep enough to find the, you know, the ties to any white supremacist group. So just want to, yeah. But Ben, did you hear anything about any of those ties or any further kind of conspiratorial stuff around the killing of the protester?
Yeah. So I want to be very clear. Winston Boogie Smith was only 32 years old. And there are three kids who are never going to see their father again. And the way that this sort of stuff gets reported can be so inhumane and dirty. You know, like when you see someone who is the victim of injustice or crime and the reporting just hinges on
previous conviction, whatever.
Yeah, that they weren't perfect. Oh, have you met a perfect person? Anyhow, it's dicey, man, because first, yes, it did lead to the decision to have more body cameras, right? But there was no footage. Becky, first off, thank you so much for this letter. There is no surveillance video that disappeared. There are also questions about like how it was reported. When the local news first reported it, I think they called the guy just a murder suspect.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah. And that's,
they retracted it in a tweet, by the
and
way,
and apologized.
Yeah,
sure. But yeah. And then there was also infighting with the law enforcement organizations, like the county sheriff. This took place in a place called Ramsey County. A guy named Bob Fletcher, he went public and accused the U.S. Marshals of being misleading when they talked about their policies regarding body cameras. And he said, you know, here at the sheriff's office, we've repeatedly asked to use body cameras, but we always get denied. Now, this, of course, it's true and it's unfortunate. It didn't get widely reported in the national news. For some reason, the public conversation found one face and put one face on a systemic problem, right? And they, in doing so, they dehumanized all the other very real, very human victims. And I know, I think it was June 7th, right after this, when the DOJ announced that federal agents would now be required to wear body cameras for searches, for warranted arrest and stuff like that. That was just 4 days after Winston Smith was murdered. It was on June 3rd, 2021. And if you look at the story as it's unfolding now, you will see a lot of sketchy stuff, you know, conflicting statements from authorities, things that don't match, strange corrections, like the idea of how many cartridge cases were recovered from a vehicle, which is how, you know, how many times an officer may have fired. It's a story that's not over, you know, and the problem is that for people who don't want these investigations to continue, or for people who don't want these to make the news, it's unfortunately very easy for these stories to get buried unless the public stays on it, you know, and actively pursues it themselves.
Agreed. Agreed.
I'm just reading about this for the first time, you guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's a lot.
I'm looking through NPR and NBC and just trying to see like what all's been said. I'm just putting out here that I like that we're having the conversation about body cameras and even the desire for officers and people who run police departments to have those things. Like you, for me, it's always an assumed, well, police officers don't want those body cameras, but I think that's a complete misthink on my part.
Well, I mean, it's certainly, it depends on their intention. You know, if they don't want them, that probably means they're up to no good, or that they plan on being up to no good. And there's plenty of police officers that have nothing but the best of intentions and the best of adherence to protocol and all that. So they would be the ones to be like, well, I've got nothing to hide. So body cam me all day long, you know?
I guess I'm just imagining it's extra scrutiny, right? On no matter what you're doing, whether it's good or bad, it's like having a hall monitor, somebody watching you
to protect you. It should be scrutiny to protect you if you've not done anything wrong. I would be all for that if I'm out there just doing what I'm supposed to do. And even if you make a mistake, the body cameras will show what happened. You know, I mean, there's friendly fire incidents all the time. For example, like let's say you accidentally shot an undercover police officer, you know, because they didn't identify themselves properly. The body camera will show that you did not act with malice. I just don't think there's anybody that would, if they have, you know, their heart's in the right place, that they would be against having body cameras.
If you'd like to learn more about this, if this is your first time hearing of this case, fellow conspiracy realist, I would recommend checking out NPR News, The Killing of Winston Smith. That's M as in Mother Public Radio, not NPR as in Nobel Prize. They've got a good write-up here. You can also see some excellent reporting by Vox about this that goes into much more detail. Also, I believe the names of the officers involved have yet to be released to the public because they were apparently working undercover at the time, pursuing something different. By the way, when they got word of Smith's location, they did not ID themselves. They just surrounded the guy's car with guns drawn. That's dude, what we're seeing reported.
Dude, if you have a gun in the car, doesn't matter what the legality is. If you've got a gun in your car and there are people surrounding your car with guns who are like not police officers at first glance, they're not saying I'm a police officer. Why would you not try and defend yourself if you could? I don't know. Whatever.
100%. It's all, I don't know. It could just be a series of bad decisions and miscommunications, but that's why I think it's, you know, the idea of he was assassinated, you know, for speaking out against police violence. I think that may be a stretch. I don't know. I just don't know. There's so much of this. It's just really starting to be just exhausting, and it really just takes, it just kind of sucks the life out of you after a while. It's like, why does it keep happening? But I don't know. Was he targeted and actually assassinated for a reason? Or was it just another example of police not being properly trained or having biases that lead them to making these stupid, stupid knee-jerk reaction decisions?
These are important questions, and they're questions that will continue because we're talking about a systemic problem here. And I appreciate that you pointed out the website Winston Smith was assassinated, Noel. This site is up now. You can get more information. The Vox article, again, what we know about the police killing of Winston Smith, highly recommended. One of the big takeaways, if you've never heard about this case, is to ask yourself, how many other ones have I not heard about? How many other things didn't make it, you know, to the national news? Because I assure you there are multiple instances, and there will be in the future. It's a statistical certitude, unfortunately.
100% agree. And it's a sad statistical certitude. Breaks my heart every time we hear about more, and I just don't see the end in sight. But I don't know. I just get so frustrated because there's been what feels like forward momentum with these, you know, to protests and people kind of during COVID, like all of these kind of groundswells of support for this. And then it just kind of feels like it blipped, you know. It almost felt like it was like a fad that a lot of people just kind of tried on for size. And now they've kind of moved on. I don't know. It does. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound totally despondent here, but it really is heartbreaking. And I hope that we can see another groundswell like that where it feels that same feeling of coming together and not putting up with this kind of stuff happen again. But for now, we're going to take a break, hear from a sponsor, and then come back with more messages from you.
And we have returned. We're going to do something special for the month of October, which has been verified numerous times by us to be the best month of the year, due to also having the best holiday of the year, as verified again by us, which is Halloween. So, Paul, hit us with that music cue. Perfect. Let's get spooky. Earlier, we'd asked for stories like the one Nick just shared with all of us. And I was astonished by how many people responded directly. A lot of spooky stuff has happened, right? Because peek behind the curtain, I'll ask for stuff. And sometimes it's crickets. And sometimes, as in this case, it's an avalanche of ghostly paranormal stories. So what we're going to do at the end of listener mail for the rest of October is share some of your stories. And then Matt, Noel, and yours truly are going to talk a little bit more about them. But we want to see, just like Nick asked, we want to see if any of these stories touch a chord with you. Some are going to be shorter, some are going to be longer, but we hope at least a few really spook you out. So settle down, grab a glass of whatever you like to drink, turn the lights down low.
Stop answering that email and let's do this.
Join us by the fire. "Hi guys," says Kate. "When I was a teenager, I moved in with my grandmother, who lives within a clearing in the Ouachita National Forest. While unpacking the car, a radio suddenly turned on, and no matter which way I turned any dial or pushed a button, it continued to blare at full volume. I often woke with cuts and scratches on my body and swollen and bruised limbs. Knickknacks would move around the house. It was just the two of us, and she swears it wasn't her. And plenty of other crazy things occurred. Since I moved out, my uncle has torn her house down and built her a log cabin, and now residents and visitors alike, even the dogs, can hear steps across the porch. I could have been sleepwalking, and the footsteps could be bears, I guess, though I feel like a bear would sound pretty different on a back porch. All I know is when I named the ghost Jim Bob and said goodnight every night, I stopped waking up with injuries." So that's our first
What?
One. Make friends with your ghost, you know? I think that's pretty
Whoa.
Cool advice.
Okay, so first of all, bears on the porch, I don't know if anyone knows this, they always tiptoe, and they do it on purpose. So it's always on two legs and tiptoeing when bears are on your porch. So if you ever hear that gentle pitter-patter, just remember, it's probably a bear.
Is that true?
No.
Okay.
Bears aren't quite clever.
Like, are these circus bears that are like trained to like balance on balls? Like,
they're bear spies. They're bear spies.
They just spy peek in the windows
for the bear government. Yeah. This is fascinating because it contains something else, which is corroboration, which is other people saying they experienced something. And I thought this was, I thought, Kate, especially the line at the end where you say you've named your ghost, I think that's an approach that other people have tried. And however you want to explain what those folks are experiencing, sometimes they feel like they have made peace with something. And that's a very old idea, especially in the world of folklore, right? You have some kind of creature and you leave it an offering. Actually, paying offerings to otherworldly entities is as old as human civilization, the idea of it. And there's nothing wrong with doing that.
What about learning the name?
Yeah,
right?
Learning the name. Names have power, right, in folkloric and occult traditions. And if you know an entity's true name, then in some ways you can control it. That's the idea, at least. And Kate, we'd love to hear more about the further adventures of Jim Bob. The last time you interacted, last time you saw a bear spy on the porch, and maybe a little bit of history about that location, because every place has a past. Before we wax too poetic, let's go to one more ghost story. This comes from Mandy. Mandy says, first, love the show and love you guys. Thank you so much. I just finished listening to your latest listener mail where you finished up by asking for listeners to share their true haunted stories. So I thought I'd share mine. This happened when I was 17, during my first semester of college in 1998. I lived in an apartment complex that was meant for college students, so I shared an apartment with three other students. While living there, a bunch of crazy, weird stuff happened. Editorializing here, but I get it. It's college. Anyway, Mandy says, but I'm just going to share a couple of those things with you. The first incident I'm going to share was a time when a room of people all saw my whoosh, whoosh, double only seconds before the actual me entered the room. The way the apartment was set up, both my bedroom and the bathroom were directly off the living room and in full view. From my perspective, I walked out of my bedroom about to head to the bathroom, and when I walked out of my bedroom, everyone in the living room had a look of shock on their face. Everyone that was in that room said they had just seen me walk out of my bedroom and go into the bathroom. Once the bathroom door closed, this is when the actual me came out of my bedroom. Of course, we checked the bathroom, and it was empty. There were a total of six people that were in that living room that all saw the same thing. Since then, I've seen tons of stuff online where other people are telling stories similar to mine. I'm not sure what's up with this phenomenon, but it seems I am not alone with this kind of experience. And Mandy goes on to say, you know, to this day, I can't make sense of everything that happened there. So what do you guys think? Have you heard the ideas of doubles or a glitch in the matrix, as it's popularly called?
Dude, I actually have. I just had a conversation about doppelgangers not long ago at all. And a personal experience of somebody that I met on Clubhouse. And she said, I won't recount her story here, but she had some very similar experiences in her home where she, like, people saw her doing something and then she was on the other side of the house and then emerged from the other side of the house. Oof.
Weird.
It's giving me goosebumps.
I met somebody at a wedding this weekend who's from South Korea and was just taken by me in an interesting way where she was looking at me from across the room and we finally spoke. And I was like, what's going on? Do you recognize me or something? She goes, you just look exactly like this person I know in Korea, like down to the shape of your eyes and your nose. I was like, cool. I guess I have a Korean doppelganger. I like that idea. I'm into it.
Yeah, me too.
And it's true that there are people who look incredibly similar. As a matter of fact, some people listening today have probably seen this happen to me. You see a photo and you think, "Oh, is that me? When was I there?" My case may be a little bit different, but I think it's something a lot of folks have experienced. Also, what sticks to me about this story, guys, is again, six people all claim they saw the same thing. It happened. It sounds like it happened quickly enough that they didn't get together and prank her. But if they did prank you, Mandy, those are great friends. just based on that prank. That is amazing. And you should stick with them because they're hilarious. But how do you explain what appears to be a glitch in the Matrix? We know memory is treacherous. Memory is sort of the Judas of cognitive processes. But if they all were claiming the same thing at the same time and they haven't changed their stories and the story hasn't been embellished, it's fascinating because they would have been, if somehow maybe you yourself had just like a accidental slip, you forgot that you had walked into somewhere earlier. That happens a lot with people. If you had thought that, then they would have corrected you. But instead we see the opposite, where they feel like they are correcting you on a different, wilder version of reality. And it's not impossible for people to have folks who look very much like them. But according to what we know about the world around us, which is not very much, obviously, it is impossible for those people to disappear unless they are like a supernatural doppelganger or they're traveling through time. They're going to be physical entities. So I'd love to hear more stories about people's doppelgangers. It's fascinating stuff. And, you know, because we've done this show for so long, I've been accused of being people's doppelgangers all the time. And that's something weird. Like, if who's the main character at that point in your life? Is it you, or are you like the B version? Are you the other color palette? You know, like in a fighting game, like Street Fighter or Tekken or whatever, where you can change the color palette of a character.
Totally. I always hate it when there's only like two very, very basic options. I really like to, you know, customize like individually, like in the RPGs. Do you guys have any favorite doppelganger based movies or anything in pop culture that you're a fan of? I'm a big fan of the Denis Villeneuve film. What's it called? Enemy with Jake Gyllenhaal. Really, really cool, creepy, lynchy doppelganger movie. But there's definitely a bunch.
Oh, yeah, it is, because it goes to a fundamental question of one's self-identity, does it not? I would like to hear more about this, more doppelganger stories. Bonus points if you can't explain them, you know, because this gets into some cool territory. Maybe we can do a full episode on doppelgangers in the future, all the science behind it and all the spooky stuff too.
Surely there's a Twilight Zone episode involving a doppelganger that I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive. There has to be.
I love the Twilight Zone. Man, Rod Serling. If a ghost comes back, if there's a ghost listening to the show and you know how to get in contact with Rod Serling, tell me. I'd love to chat with him.
Yeah, just conjure him right on up. we'll hang for sure. Mm-hmm. My favorite movie about doppelgangers is Us. Do you remember this movie? It came out long ago.
Oh my God, yes, of course. Fabulous. Okay. Yeah, Jordan Peele.
Yes. And second of all, if you're that person that I was referencing earlier, send us your doppelganger story so we can compare it to what we just talked about. Please. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
If that's the person from Clubhouse, right?
Yes, doppelganger person. You know who you are.
Yeah, we're around Clubhouse. In and out of conversations, so don't be surprised if you run into a familiar face or voice. One last thing before we wrap up the Halloween part of this show. Joey sent us a really cool screenshot. I'm not sure if this is true, but I wanted to share it with everyone because I think it's a funny story. So this takes place in San Antonio, and Joey was writing a little bit about how San Antonio is known for being haunted. As a matter of fact, when our producer Paul and I went to San Antonio to make fake commercials for potato chips, which is a true story, Paul stayed in the most haunted hotel, not just in town, but I think it's like top three in the U.S. And though I will not tell the story without his permission, I believe Paul had some strange happenings while he was staying there. But anyway, Joey sends us this. Here's the headline. The devil impressed San Antonio women with his dancing back in the 70s. Back in Halloween 1975, many locals said a handsome man dressed all in white showed up to El Camaroncito nightclub. Legend says the man was an excellent dancer and wooed plenty of women that night. As the night wore on, one of the women looked down at the man's feet and discovered his shoes had transformed into clawed chicken's feet. Others say it was goat's hooves. Either way, People said he was the devil. Attendees say he fled the scene to the bathroom where he escaped through the window and left a cloud of smoke as well as a sulfuric smell.
that wasn't just...
Oh, God. I like that he went out the window. He snuck off to the bathroom.
But he had to leave because he bombed that place into oblivion. The bathroom, I mean.
That might be it. He might have just committed a crime against decency in the restroom. Yeah,
that's right. Joey, thank you.
Yeah, those stories happen too. I mean, throughout history, but it's weird to hear one as recently as the 1970s, isn't it?
Oh yeah, this feels like crossroads kind of thing. But in this case, it's El Camaroncito.
Mm-hmm. And that made me think, what's the weirdest encounter you've had with a stranger? It doesn't have to be something that felt overtly supernatural to you. It could just be something really weird. Like one time I was traveling in the Gulf Coast area and I had to get gas. And I came upon this gas station and I walked inside, all the lights were off. And that Dwight Yoakam song, A Thousand Miles From Nowhere, was playing.
Classic, creepy.
And it was like toward the end of the song, and then it just started again. So it was playing on repeat. And this guy came out just like in overalls without a shirt, and he was eating chicken. And he said, "Are you him?" And I said, "I'm just trying to get some gas." And then he said, "All right, he's coming though, right?" And I said, I don't know. I mean, it'd be a better story if I got more involved, but I just like bought gas and he said, "Do you want some chicken? I make it fresh." And it was just the gas, please. And then I skedaddled. I was not.
Are you sure this wasn't a David Lynch movie?
It felt like it. It felt weirder and weirder the further away I got.
Are you him? This is the girl. I mean, dude, oh my goodness gracious. That's incredible, Ben.
He is coming.
It's pretty good, Ben.
Right. No, it's true. I should have done more, but I honestly was, I don't get shook too often, but that's weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's not just me. All right.
I want to see that though in a scene where a guy's just eating chicken in his shirtless overalls and just looks up. Oh, you him? Yeah. I love that. I want to see that.
And, you know, it wasn't a threatening dude, but stories like that is what we're saying. And I know, Noel, Matt, without putting you guys on the spot, that you have also had some bizarre encounters with strangers. They're the spice of life. So we want to hear your stories. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mandy. And thanks to everybody else who wrote in, contacted us somehow. And thanks for letting us share your stories with your fellow conspiracy realists. If you want to take a page from their book, from their Necronomicon, since we're going toward Halloween, yeah, then please do reach out to us. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us on the internet and the usual social media locations of note, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, where we are Conspiracy Stuff. We're Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram.
Yes, and Instagram and Facebook are working again. So is WhatsApp. Congratulations to everyone. They
came back from the dead, you might say?
Yes. Yes, came back from the dead. They've been resurrected. Oh, it's blood magic.
I thought I was going to die, you know, without it. It brought me right back to life. I mean, I was like literally checking the app, knowing that it wasn't working, but just by rote, it made me feel like a total junkie.
There you go. You know what you are, Nolan. It's not your fault.
I know
it was
exactly
designed
what I
for
am.
That.
It was. It was
So yes, if you don't want to use social media, please give us a phone call. Use your mouth. Talk to us. It's crazy. 1-833-STDWYTK. Leave a message. You've got 3 minutes. Those are 3 minutes of yours. You do whatever you want with them. Please give yourself a cool nickname. And if you cannot fit everything you want to say in that 3 minutes, please, please, please send us a good old fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.